Sports Radio 99 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. 1 o'clock on a Sunday. This week, the Olympics open. First events start Wednesday with rugby and soccer. The opening ceremonies will be on Friday night, or Friday sometime, the six-hour time difference between here and Paris. Of course, we have the Olympics beginning this week. We have the Braves playing the Cardinals today, 1:30, in about half an hour or so, final game of that series, and then they'll play the Reds. Then they go to New York this week, and the Braves are going to be front and center against the Mets in an important series at Citi Field. In addition to the fact that we are knocking on the door of the trade deadline, which is now 9 days away in Major League Baseball, so that's going to be a big story. Falcons open their camp on Wednesday. Obviously, we're going to have full coverage of the Atlanta Falcons camp for you. Wall-to-wall coverage from morning to night, from morning shift to Steakhouse to Andy and Randy to Dukes and Bell, and all in and around Flowery Branch for the discussion and coverage. Again, all of our platforms, 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, if you don't follow us, X. If you don't follow us, you should, on all those platforms. And, of course, here on the air on our website, 929thegame.com. And we encourage you to bookmark everything. And there you'll see all the interviews. You'll see all the breakdowns. There'll be a couple of public practices. We'll walk you through all of training camp, complete wall-to-wall coverage right here on your home of the Falcons, all leading to the fact that in 19 days, right, we're going to have our first preseason game of the year with the Falcons in Miami in just 19 days from now. So it's going to happen really fast. And I've been talking today about the preseason where I don't know if you're going to see Kirk Cousins play against the Dolphins, play against the Ravens, play against Jacksonville if he comes in for a series or something. I would kind of hope he does, but I can't know that. It's going to be dominated not just by Taylor Heinicke being, you know, getting some reps with his offense, but it's going to be dominated by Michael Penix. And you're really going to see, I think, what I believe I've seen in him over the last 5 years in college, both at Indiana and Washington, that this is a really good quarterback that you're really going to like. And my concern, or my concern is a strong word, my instinct is that we're going to come out of training camp and a lot of people are going to be like Mario going, hey, we got to start Penix right now because he's the future. He's the guy. He's here. And I'm wondering if this is going to be a problem. Let's get to your calls here. Let's go to Angelo. Jack, hang on. I'll get to you straight away. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, John. I called last week and getting your input, getting your assessment of somewhat controversial situations. I really like listening to that. I learn a lot from your insight, from your knowledge. I'm just a novice sports guy, been in Atlanta my whole life. And I want to hear what your thoughts are. I don't have a dog in this fight, but could you do this? Let's say that you are the owner of the Falcons, okay, and you let Arthur Smith leave, okay? Morris hasn't been hired yet. You're the owner. What would you be looking for if this is your team? You have the current players today, so you can look at your players. Go deep on this, John. Are you looking into every aspect you possibly can to pick the right guy? You know, is it the old saying that a great coach can win with poor players and a poor coach will win with great players? So I'm really interested on what your formula is on what's the winning coach. And I'm going to go ahead and hang up and let you share.
Well, I mean, a poor coach can win with great players. A great coach cannot win with poor players. If your players suck, it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't make any difference. You know, I'm a pretty great coach. God, these guys suck. Once you trot them out in the field, once you let the kids out the door, you're not in charge of them anymore, okay? I'm just saying. They're on their own. Try and guide them the best you can, but, you know, he misses a block. Okay. He holds. Okay. You do the best you can. You got to get them out there and let them run wild and see what happens. I think Raheem was the right hire. At first I was like, really? What? And when I first heard it, remember they did 14 interviews, 14. We all thought, I think a lot of us thought it when Arthur Blank was supposedly on the Yakata with Bill Belichick, that it was a done deal that Belly was going to be here. And we're like, oh, okay. You know, would you rather have in hindsight Bill Belichick and Justin Fields, or would you rather have Raheem Morris and Kirk Cousins? Because I would take the latter. And so I think they made the right hire. I certainly hope they did. I mean, is the jury out on Raheem as a full-time head coach? Sure. I want Raheem Morris to be the head coach of this team for the next 12 to 15 years. And I want him to have such great success, and I'm really rooting for him to do that. Zach Robinson, such great success that he's immediately being tapped as a head coach at a major college. You know, Florida says, hey, Zach Robinson, come on down, or something like that, you know, if Billy Napier doesn't work out. Jimmy Lake, you know, some people thought he didn't get a fair shake at Washington, but he has a tough act to follow. He does. I mean, Dean Pease and Ryan Nielsen did really good jobs as the DC here, so he's got a tough act to follow. Justin Hood comes in as part of the coaching staff. He's got that secondary back there. Again, it's sort of like Barrett Root at linebackers. You've got coaches that are going to have to kind of make their name here with the talent that they have, because it doesn't appear that the Falcons are going to do a whole lot of hunting anymore in free agency. So you're kind of dancing with what brung you. So to be on Justin Hood to get the most out of that secondary, and to have Clark Phillips take a step up, and to have DeMarco Helms take a step up, same for Barrett Rood, to figure out how he's going to use Ellis and Lamon and Anderson and whatnot there at linebacker. And so when it comes to, you know, wide receivers, Ike Hilliard, for example. Now, Ike was a great, great wide receiver. And a lot of people think that Ike is a great coach, that Ike's actually a head coach in waiting. And Ike is going to have a wide receiver core that's got some really nice pieces, but he's going to have to figure out, you know, like exactly, are they going to play Kyle Pitts at wide receiver 80% of the time? I'm beginning to think that that might be the case, that it's not really going to be 50-50. I think they're going to really play him in more of a wide receiver slot quite often, because I think they're going to realize that the weapon he is on a mismatch, because even though they like Mooney, and keep in mind this, when we're talking about Ray McLeod and we're talking about Rondale Moore, two guys I really like, but they're both little guys. Okay, they're like Spud Webb little guys. And Mooney's not exactly a huge guy. He's like 6'6", 1. Now, he's really fat. Now, all three of those guys are really fast. So there's going to be a lot of speed, and you're going to have to, turn and go to catch them when they go down the field. The thing that Pitts offers you is such a mismatch. You know, if you split him out wide, he becomes, you know, like an Ike Hilliard. I mean, he's such a mismatch. There's a 5'10 corner. Kirk Cousins looks out there, and a safety slides over to his left, and he's got Pitts in motion going right, and Pitts is going to run kind of a post route or something, and he's going to be covered by a 5'10 corner. He doesn't have to be open. Okay? Kirk goes, yeah, okay. He's covered by a 5'10 corner. He's open. Throw the ball. Go get it. Because he'll put it in a – you're not going to have those circus catches anymore, because the ball is going to be delivered on time. He'll just throw it up there and say, who can jump higher? Kyle, can you out-jump the 5'10 corner? Here. That's just what I'm saying. Yeah, I can. Okay, here. my point is on this is that a lot is out here. We're having new schemes on defense, new schemes on offense. I hate to say, and because I don't want to be this guy, let's see how it works. I have good high hope, but it's going to take a while. That's why I say in the schedule, you got to survive the first 5 weeks, and the two most important games are not Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and Kansas City, the first three games, even though I know they're super high profile, and we all want the two most important games in the first five are Tampa and New Orleans. Okay, you got to win those games. And the next five, the most important games are Carolina, Tampa, and New Orleans. Because in the first 10 games, the five games against the division are the five most important games. If you lost every other game but won all five games in the division, boy, would you be in a great spot. And then the second part of the schedule, the final seven games, even though a lot of them are on the road, tends to lighten up a little bit. And you got to be in a position by week 10 to be above 500 in the division, because you can't make up any ground. You only have one division game left. So it's really important to get off to a quick start, especially in the NFC South. And so that coaching staff is going to be tasked with implementing a new scheme with new quarterbacks and doing it from the jump and go. I mean, the starter's gun's going to go off, and they're going to have to come out of the blocks fast. That's a tough challenge. Let's go to Jack here. Hey, Jack, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? So good. I have a couple questions for you. First, starting off, obviously, I agree with your point that winning the division is the most important thing. You know, just trying to establish a winning culture, which you know, we haven't had in a few years. But if you were to project, and, you know, everybody's favorite thing, power rankings, where would you put the Falcons, assuming the top five is, you know, 49ers, Lions, Packers, Eagles, Cowboys? Would you throw them close to that mix, or are they around more talks and that level?
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think I would probably put them in the middle of the pack. And we'll see.
In the middle of the NFC pack?
Middle of the NFL.
Middle of the NFL.
I mean, yeah, middle of the NFL. I mean, you know, I mean, in the NFC, I mean, if they're a division champ, you're one of the top four teams in the NFC. You're a division champ. You get a bye, right? I mean, maybe. I mean, so it's possible, I guess. But you get a home game at the very least. So, you know, win a division title. And, again, what are you if you win a division title, what is your record going into the playoffs?
Jack, 10-6 or 10-7, 11-6.
You finish the regular season and you're going into the playoffs and you're the NFC South champions. What's your record?
0-0.
Exactly. Bingo. So that's the point. And your next game's at home. So, you know, again, that's where I want to get. I want to get to 0-0 and our next game is at home, and I'll worry about everything after that.
Right? Okay, fair enough. Fair, absolutely. Yeah. Completely agree with that. And then secondly, just off topic on that one, everyone's favorite conversation on contracts. Just wondering where you stand with the whole Kyle Pitts' future with the Falcons. You know,
well,
you look at a
this
team
year
like
is the, it, right?
It seems that way. You know, you look at a team like the Bengals, who they're paying their quarterback as well. They have a younger wide receiver, one, who they're going to pay, and they're letting T. Higgins walk. It seems like the Falcons are absolutely paying Drake London, and then you got a Bijan Robinson on a first-round contract. You're paying Kirk Cousins, you know, which, you know, like it or not, Michael Penix pick. You lose out on the most valuable thing in the NFL, which is a good QB on a rookie contract. Where do you think that stands with Kyle Pitts as far as him coming back? You know, I think his number four overall pick pedigree, you know, his contract's going to be inflated no matter what if he hits free agency. So kind of how does he have to perform this year for the Falcons to, you know, feel comfortable bringing him back, do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, they've already picked up his option. I would say, look, you know, moving forward with Kyle Pitts, it's, you know, A, can you stay healthy? I mean, B, can you grow as a player and be the weapon that we've always wanted you to be? But they've already picked up his fifth year. So, you know, I think it's going to be – that'll be an interesting discussion. It's a future discussion. It's not a discussion for now. Let's see what kind of year he has. Let's see what the next 2 years gives us here. I remember that the good thing about Kirk Cousins is if Kirk Cousins does take you over the next couple of years, he comes off the books after 2 years. And so, you know, you'll have a lot of flexibility after that point that if you wanted to keep him, you could, or you want to turn it over to Penix, you can. And that's why I keep telling Falcons fans, look, you want Kirk Cousins to have two really good years and come off the books, you know, and root for that. And then Penix comes in, you know, 2 years from now, we're sitting around here on July 21st, 2026, talking about Penix taking over as a starter. He's had 2 years on the bench to learn and everything. He's ready to go, and he's under his rookie contract. So, you know, for a couple more years. So, what, three? So, you know, I mean, I think all of it kind of – I think they're playing this the right way from a contract standpoint. I can't see how they're playing it wrong. Now, the question is, you know, with Kyle Pitts, the real question will become, how do they use him? And eventually, do they have to have a discussion as to whether or not he's going to be slotted as a wide receiver or a tight end? You know, that question that's happened, you know, multiple times with tight ends who get mad about the fact that they want to be called wide receivers because they've been throwing the ball to him so much. And, you know, this whole slotting of by position in the NFL, I've always said that it would behoove the NFL, Jack, to get rid of the position slotting and just say, Pay players whatever you want to pay them. You know, nobody's slotted. Because all these wide receivers now, even if they're only like the 10th best wide receiver, want to get paid $30 million a year. And I'm like, yeah, no. No. You know?
Yeah, I'm not having absolutely. You eat up.
I'm like, I don't care how good you are. Justin Jefferson wants to get, they give him all this money, which is great, and he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But who is throwing him the ball? It ain't Kirk Cousins, by the way. You think his numbers are going up this year?
J.J. McCarthy? He's not Kirk Cousins? You're telling me that? Michigan quarterback?
Sam Darnold? No, I'm just telling you. You know, I mean, so are his numbers going up this year? I don't think so. But that's just a guess. Well,
I would completely agree. I think the biggest concern is if Kyle Pitts, you know, like obviously you don't want him to, you know, you want him to be the best he can be. But if he has that, you kind of almost want that middle season because, you know, let's say he does.
No, you just root for him to have root for him to be the greatest player of all time, and we'll worry about the contract later. I think you're worrying about something that we can worry about.
That's fair. You just don't.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess
I'll worry about the contract 2 years from now. 2 years from now, I'll worry about the contract. Right now, let's just go out, let's go out and win. All right, thanks, Chuck. 404-726-0929 on a Sunday. We're talking about the Falcons. The Falcons have a problem coming out of the camp here. Are you going to fall in love with Michael Penix? Because you are. Hint, you are. On Sports Radio 92 on the game. Radio 90's got the game. Looks like Xander Schauffele about to have a big moment at the British Open. Of course, he's the defending gold medalist, too, in the Olympics as well. And so good for the young man. Boy, Xander Schauffele's stock is rapidly rising towards right up there to Scottie Scheffler, right? I mean, he's about to really break through. I mean, we're now starting to see Xander Schauffele in that pantheon of great top of the world golfers, and so congrats to him here. Let's get to our old buddy Mel. He's hanging on here. I can't wait to Mel. I cannot wait to meet you in person, and I know that we never meet. It's going to be fun to see you. You know, I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, before I make my point, I want to say this too, and then I get a chance to say what I want to say about meeting you. Go back. Yeah, that'd be good for me to meet you too, John. But you know what?
So what do you make of all this? Can I ask you a question, Mel? Do you think the Falcons fans are going to suck? Because I have this theory, and this is the kind of the thrust today as we begin. This is the week. How about this, Mel? It's the first week of the Falcons season because camp opens this week. So now that we're here in the first week of the Falcons season, that by the end of the preseason, once we get done with the Jacksonville game, in that period between the Jacksonville game and the opening game against Pittsburgh, that I think that you're going to hear a lot of conversation from fans online and on the air saying, boy, this Penix guy, can we start him? I think they're going to fall in love with this guy.
No. That's my point, what I'm trying to make during the preseason. All right. We have three quarterbacks, don't we? Because we know who number one is. But I like to see there's four quarters in football. Okay, preseason. I think this year start the second screen quarterback. Let him play two quarters. Then play our draft choice. Do it that way, and then we'll see that we know our second screen quarterback will be our top draft choice. But the third screen, try to trade him or either get another backup for our third screen quarterback. But other than that, I don't want to see our number one quarterback play a damn one of these preseasons. I heard you say something about he might play in one. No, don't play him for now, preseason. You know, let him set it out. But like I was saying, let the second screen, our draft choice, play in the preseason. I'm not worrying about seeing Michael draft choice that much. But we all know he can play. You don't see him play. And I see him play in the championship game. I knew what he can do. I don't saw him. Seen him. But Don't play our number one quarterback. I don't want to see him till I meet you down there at the first game of the season. That's what I want to see. I have another one quarterback. Other than that, no.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that's like the last. You know what? One more quick fun.
Yeah,
like
sure.
The last caller, right before me, talking about Pitts. Pitts going to score 10 touchdowns this year.
He might.
10 of them. They're going to shut him up, talking about his money. He ain't paying Pitts unless he go to some of the game. So keep it. Don't worry about it. Now, you can go to your point now.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I tend to agree with you. I'm not that we'll see. I think it's quite possible we do not see Kirk Cousins in the preseason at all. And it's going to be interesting. You know, people are going to say things like, again, is he not healthy enough? Is that why we didn't see him? Are they too scared to put him out there because he might get injured? Hey, listen, we've had this before because we didn't get enough reps for, remember all the talk about how we weren't getting enough reps under both Dan Quinn and Arthur Smith for our first team offense. And this year it's a brand new offense. They've got a click. Why are we not seeing it? We may see Kirk Cousins out there for a series or two. And it strikes me that we probably will at some point, but it's possible we won't see him at all. They'll make a decision that they're just going to go with the three quarterbacks behind him. Of course, Michael Penix, Taylor Heinicke. They have another quarterback from Illinois named John Paddock, who's kind of a camp quarterback and a reserve quarterback. Heinicke may actually make the team here. And it's possible, by the way, that Heinicke is the back. I want to prep you for this. It's entirely plausible when they go into the Pittsburgh game that Cousins is a starter and Heinicke is the backup, and that Penix is the third quarterback. He's that third emergency quarterback thing. That if anything happens to Cousins, Heinicke is in. And again, it has to do with the fact that Heinicke is a veteran who has played a number of games in the NFL, and Penix has never seen a play yet. And it has nothing to do with, you know, eventually what kind of quarterback they're going to be. Obviously, I think we all understand the upside of Michael Penix is far, far greater than Taylor Heinicke, but that doesn't mean that he's going to play in front of Taylor Heinicke. I hope you understand that. Man, people are going to be screaming, why is Penix not in there? Well, because it's not... This isn't, you know, EA College Football 25, okay? This is the NFL. And when you get into the NFL, things change, and you've got to get real-world experience. Well, let's get them some real-world experience. Why aren't we doing that? Yes, that's an argument you can make. And if they're getting dusted in one of the games, if they come home against Kansas City, the argument you can make to see Penix this year is if something, you know, kind of goes sideways on you and – you know, Taylor Swift is out there dancing with Blake Lively in a box at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and suddenly you're, you know, 7 minutes to go in the game, and it's 35-7, and Kirk Cousins is having a rough night. Do you want to go ahead and put Penix in and get him some looks here in a real-life game? I can make an argument for that. I can make an argument that he ought to do that and get him some snaps so that he gets some taste of it, you know, gets a couple of series in a real game, not just in a preseason game. I can make an argument for that. A lot of people, you know, and of course the argument against that is Kirk Cousins, like Matt Ryan never wanted to come out of a game. Brett Favre never wanted to come out of a game. A lot of these starting quarterbacks don't ever want to come out of a game for fear that the Penix goes in there, throws a couple of touchdowns against kind of the, you know, second string of the Kansas City Chiefs, and then everybody said, oh God, we got to start Penix. You know, I mean, so you never want to do that, so you don't tend to come out unless you're injured, you know, because you don't want the other guy to get a chance. You just don't. It's not like college where, yeah, we're pulling the starting quarterback, we'll put in the second stringer, oh, we're pulling the second stringer, we're going to put in the third stringer, we're getting all a taste here and get him some snaps and some reps. Not really the way it works in the NFL. It's a different animal. You know, they play all however many snaps over the course of the season. You know, I mean, how many snaps are there on offense in the NFL? Well north of 1,000, probably close to 1,200. Yeah, that quarterback is out there for all of them. He's not going to be getting, yeah, no, you're not taking one, dude. I'm taking all of them. 404-726-0929 is the number if you want to jump into the program. Are we going to have a problem here with the quarterbacking situation, at least from a perspective of fans saying, hey, listen, it's time to play Michael Penix? We may. And, of course, if Kirk Cousins struggles, you'll also hear that. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is I want all of you, even though I know some of you aren't, because I've had a couple calls where there aren't, to root for Kirk Cousins to be the starting quarterback of this team for the next 2 years. It is the best possible outcome for this team. Because if he is, it means the team is having success. Okay? They're having success. And I don't know why you would root against success. Everybody wants to play, like, you know, when I get calls about contracts, everybody wants to worry about, next year and the year after. It's like we're always worried about prospects. Prospects are draft picks. How about we worry about right now? How about we try and win a division right now? And let's get to what is the Falcons' record? This is why I've been asking you, and finally we had a caller today who finally got to it. I had to ask him. I've been trying to ask him, what is the Falcons? What do you want the Falcons' record to be? 0-0. That's what you want the Falcons' record to be, 0-0. Because that means if you're 0-0, you got a home game in the playoffs. Brother, that's what you want. Let's go to Brad here. Brad's going to jump into the program. Hey, Brad.
Hey, John. How you doing, Mr. Cricket?
What up?
Hey, well, listen, real quick, I got two things to talk to you about. Let me get you off speaker. Hold on. All right, I'm here. The Bates. Now, I'm so sick of everybody talking about this, you know, halfway through the season. Like everybody's saying, they're already close to 100 games. So the Braves are who the Braves are, okay? And the way I see it, the Braves is going to be who the Braves is. They started out great, and then you see what kind of slump we're in. So the way I look at it, the Braves are who the Braves are, pretty much. And another thing, too, on Kirk Cousins' deal and all this
stuff.
All right,
stuff. Don't throw 8 things at me, Brad.
Go back
to the Braves here. This is why I'm telling you it's going to be really interesting to see two things. One, what, if anything, does Alex Anthopoulos do, especially as it considers with Elder's rough outing yesterday, another starting pitcher and a right fielder to come in and play that position? What does he do in terms of that between now and the end of the month in the next 9 days? That's number one. What can he do?
Right.
What does he do? And number two is...
Well, we would have to see.
Of course. And number two is there any way to fix Matt Olson? Is there any way to fix him? Because if they can fix him and you make the right move, then the Braves, this team that you're watching now, won't be the Braves you see in a month. It'll be a different team. It'll be a better team.
Right. I feel like the Angels just needs to cut Washington loose and bring them back home. I think he lit a fire up these guys' butts, and they respected him in a way. So, I mean, I feel like with him being parted from the team, and it's like he took a lot of stuff with him and didn't leave it with the Braves this year. And everybody sees it, you know. And with Matt Olson, I don't know what the heck they're going to do with Matt Olson. I mean, if he can't see the ball now, what makes you think he's going to see it in October? I mean, your thoughts on that?
I know. Can you fix him? I know. I'm with you.
It's hard to fix something that's already broken. But real quick, John, before I let you go, Kirk Cousins, you know, we paid him this big money, big dollars and everything, and you know, it's either win or go home this year. And I feel like they went out and they spent all this money, and I feel like the GM is pushing for a Super Bowl. And, I mean, the way they got the team set up, the defense is – I think the defense is going to be perfect. I mean, I can see the Falcons being a top-10 defense this year. And then the offense, we should be a top-10 offense, the way everything's set up. Now, Kyle Pitts, I don't understand what the heck's going on with Kyle Pitts. Now, if he happens to not have a good year this year, then that was a wasted talent, wasted draft pick on somebody that, I mean, granted, he did have the noodle arm and he had DoorDash, okay? So I do get him that. But at the same time, he is high talent. So we'll see how it goes this year, John. But it was a pleasure talking to you, sir. I'm glad to hear you, and I hope you're having a good weekend over at the Northern Studios, and I'll talk at you soon.
Thanks, Brad. Do appreciate it. Well, all I know is that he was also injured last year, played most of the season with, as we found out at the end of the year, two injuries to his knee. Again, the 1 year he didn't play with, when 1 year he played with a good quarterback, of course, it was the end of Matt Ryan's career. All he did was second most receiving yards ever by a rookie tight end in the history of the NFL. That's all. That's all he ever did when he played with a good quarterback. So we'll see. I mean, do I? Again, CBS said Drake London is the breakout guy. I think Kyle Pitts is the breakout guy. And Kyle Pitts is going to have a huge year. And I think they're going to use him in a way, in a fashion, where he's going to have a huge year. We'll see. 404-726-0929. You want to be part of the party as we continue on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Sports Radio 90, John the Game. Final segment for me from the Northern Kia Studios. Braves today now underway as they try and take two out of three from the St. Louis Cardinals. Reds come to town. So the week, this being the opening of the week here, Eric Slaughter, first day of the week, what a week it's going to be. It could be, well, it's a week where the Braves, you know, and I'm not going to discount the importance of today's game of the Reds series come, but it's a week that includes a trip to New York to face the MESS. It's a week where Alex Anthopoulos could be making the first of a big move, or one or two, or may not, with the trade deadline looming in just 9 days. And then it's the opening of Falcons camp. It's the beginning of the Olympics. I mean, there's so much, you know, right now in store for this week. It is going to be really fun because football season really, for me, kind of begins right now in a lot of ways because, Eric, this is the first day of the first week of the Falcons season, in a way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, like you said, Sunday's actual start week, and by now it's Sunday afternoon, almost Sunday evening. So Monday, you know, we're here, and Wednesday gets here so quickly, the guys are moving in, and Thursday the football will be in the air.
Yeah, and with camp again, we're going to have wall-to-wall coverage of the training camp beginning Wednesday, right here on your home of the Falcons Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Every show, morning shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell. Weekends, we're going to have it all covered. Obviously, I'm not going to be there, but I'm going to be relying on the people like Eric and Joe Patrick and Squid and everybody else is going to be there to fill me in on all this stuff, you know, and all our reporters that are going to be in and around the Falcons and all the stuff that we're going to be posting. I want to encourage you once again to bookmark us on Insta, on X, on Facebook, 929 The Game, certainly our website, 929thegame.com, all the interviews that are going to be posted there, all the pictures, all the analysis, and, of course, listen to all the shows here because we'll have wall-to-wall best coverage, obviously, of the Falcons with the flagship station. So we get coverage that nobody else can get. So, and you're going to want to be here throughout the entirety of training camp as we take you to the opener. We are knocking on the door here. I mean, we're 19 days away from the Falcons playing. They haven't even opened camp on Wednesday. We're 19 days until they play the Miami Dolphins. So they'll open on Wednesday, and we'll be talking 2 weeks. You got 2 weeks from the opening of camp, and we're playing football. And they're going to have some practices with the Dolphins beforehand, and it's going to be really fun to watch all the storylines that develop out of here. I'm really excited. This is killing me, Eric, to not go to camp this year. And I know that you've offered, and I may have to, and I'll have to figure that out to take you up on it. I'll have to talk to Mike Connie about, you know, if we can do that, you know, and you can take me out there and we can go to a, you know, a session and whatnot out there. Because I would love to do that. Because I am really anxious to see. I haven't had a chance to meet the new coaches in person. I haven't had a chance to see Michael Penix or Rugaroro or Dorlis or Trice or Kirk Cousins, for that matter, in a Falcons uniform. And I always enjoy my time out at Flowery Branch. And, of course, every year, you know, when I was doing the morning show for all those years and years and years with you, is that we would spend, it was always kind of a fun time. It was an interesting time. But we would spend anywhere from 10 to as many as 15 days out at Flowery Branch during training camp. And it was always kind of interesting to do the morning show out there because we would get there and nobody else would be there. And it'd be dark.
Would you beat the kitchen crew and the janitorial crew? You beat them too?
Yeah, we beat everybody but the security guard at the gate. Yes,
because I guess one time, you know, the kitchen crew gets there to start making breakfast for the guys, probably about 6:30. So you guys are probably already on the air for about 30 minutes, probably.
Yeah, well, and we're there earlier than 6,
right? Because you got to get set up. So yeah,
right. Yeah, so we're there.
Security guard opened the gate, and here you come with your coffee.
Yep. Yep, third shift security guard has to do it, and you know, and then you get to know them. They're nice people and do a really good job. We get a primo parking space, that's for sure. But we'd be there, and sometimes it'd be cool, and it'd be dark, and there'd be nobody there, and then we get to watch the sun come up, and then they bring the mowers out, and people would start to show up and set up stuff over in the, you know, the area where the media was, and they'd set up stuff, of course, you know, and it was like watching this is one of those time lapse, you know, things kind of like in real life, you know, in real time, you know, and it was always interesting. And by the time that we got towards the last hour of the show, you know, the players and coaches are coming over. We're saying hi. The other shows are coming in. There's activity. The fans have been let in already. The place is buzzing. And so it went from dead silent and five people to hundreds of people over the course of the show. So it was always kind of fun in that regard. And then we got a chance to get down and sit there and watch practice and watch the team go and really get an assessment and an idea, because it's much different for those who've ever been to a practice. And of course, again, no fans again at Flowery Branch this year. It's much different when you go to a practice and you can watch players, even though they're not hitting necessarily. I mean, there's some 7-on-7 light hitting. They're not killing each other. Especially when they're in full pads. But you can really kind of get a sense of, you know, what you see in terms of how a player moves, how a player cuts, you know, what a player does, what kind of speed he has in one-on-one drills, you know, what's his game look like. And it becomes obvious when you first see A.J. Terrell and you see him in one-on-one drills, you're going, oh, okay, that guy can play. You know, and so, all right, I see why they took him number one. Or in this case, you'll be able to see in person the talent that these two quarterbacks have, Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. And what separates them now isn't so much a talent standpoint. Yes, Penix is more of an athlete than Kirk is because he's just younger and faster. But and he's not coming off an Achilles. People say, oh, Penix has been hurt. He's been injury-free for 3 years now, okay? He's fine. Okay, so let's not worry about Penix being hurt at Indiana. It was a long time ago. You know, it was back when DeBoer was an offense coordinator. So this team will be really fascinating to watch in the preseason. I think, and I made this statement before, that from a radio perspective here on 929 and from a television perspective, it's highly possible, Eric Slaughter, that this Falcons team breaks listenership and viewership records for preseason games this year.
We won't complain about that now, will we? We won't complain about that in the sales department either now, will we?
But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, the storylines. Just the natural storylines of new coach, new quarterback, first-round pick quarterback, new offense. It's just storyline after storyline after storyline after interest after interest after interest. How do they look? How's this one getting used? You know, rookie defensive lineman, rookie defensive edge. Yes, storyline after storyline, and let's talk about this.
You know, right, and a couple of storylines get lost in all of that, too, that are otherwise pretty important storylines. How, when you're at practice, how does Troy Anderson move? How does Grady Jarrett move?
Return the rookies plus the return of the injured guys, the vets, the couple free agents that we brought in, which we really didn't bring a big in other than, of course, the $100 million quarterback. Just so much stuff, so much stuff.
You know? There are a lot of great storylines on this team, right? How do the rookies look? You know, is Rukororo, you know, look, you know, it's funny, like Deidre Sinnott, I don't know if you remember that name. Falcons fans may remember him.
Oh, I remember.
University of South Florida, right?
Yeah.
You know, right? And he comes in and he looks like he's just, Deidre was built like just a round rock, mm-hmm. Okay? And you watch him stand there and you go, man, the dude is a round rock. And we get out there and then he realized he was a round rock who couldn't move. Yeah, oh, okay, he really is a rock. He doesn't, his footwork is, you know, okay. Calvin Ridley shows up, all right, at camp. And, you know, catching bricks and all that kind of stuff. And you watch him and you say, oh, okay, that guy's got a, okay, he can, oh, okay, this guy's going to be. It was obvious that Calvin Ridley had, when you saw him in person, you went, okay, all right, I'm good with this. I understand where they're going with this one. I got it. I understand why they like him so much. I understand why it was the first, yeah, I get it. I understand where they're going with this. Because you saw the potential in a Calvin Ridley. I wish he could have been a Falcon for a lot longer than he was, injury and everything else. But, well, not really injury. I guess it was self-inflicted, mm-hmm. You know. But, you know, it's too bad that it didn't work out the way it could have worked out for him, for Calvin here. So, and I wish him the best, by the way. But you can tell who really can and cannot play. It's just so interesting to be able to watch and go, okay, I can see the potential in this guy. That's why I can't wait to see. I think of all the rookies, the one I'm kind of most interested in isn't Penix. It isn't even Rukororo. It's not Braylon Trice, because I think that Rook is going to be a rotational interior defensive guy and have an impact on the team. I think Braylon Trice is actually going to be pretty good. I'm really intrigued by Brandon Dorlus. And I want to know if Brandon Dorlus is going to be a guy that nobody's talked about that you're going to, whoa, this dude can flat play. Because that's my sense. that this dude is going to blow up. That between Bryce, Braylon Trice, and Brandon Dorlus, one of those two is going to become an immediate impact player this year. The question is, do both? I think there's a little less pressure on Trice. One of the reasons Ebby Cady went to this, I mentioned it earlier, he went to this highfalutin, high-end pass rush training camp in the offseason here, is not only to improve his game, but he knows he's playing for his job, because he knows that between Zach Harrison and look, this is no offense to Lo Carter. It's not. Lo's an important guy. He's a veteran player. He can really help these young defensive edge guys. He's really an important player on this team. But Lo also knows kind of where he's at in his career. And he knows that for this team to be successful, it's really from an outside edge standpoint, and I'm not talking about Caden Ellis coming off the edge or even Grady sliding outside. It's about three guys. It's about Zach Harrison, it's about Arnold Ebigady, and it's about Braylon Trice. If those three guys can individually be, you know, up their game and be impact players, if Zach Harrison can take a big step up in year two, if Ebigady can take a big step up in year three, and Braylon Trice can come in as a rookie and impact this team, that pass rush is going to be much more fierce. I think the Falcons are looking at that, thinking, and Jay Rogers, their position coach, is looking at that, going, hey, listen, this defensive line is going to be pretty good. I actually think the Falcons have a really good defensive line. I think they have a really good offensive line. And I think in having a really – I think they have one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. And having a really good offensive line and really good defensive line, while we talk a lot about Pitts and London and Bijan and Kirk Cousins and Penix and AJ and Jesse and the guys that are kind of on the periphery of the circle, the guys that are in the middle there, I think the Falcons are really good. I think they're, from an offensive-defensive line combination, they're a top 10 team in the NFL, okay? For if you combine offensive and defensive lines, the Falcons are, you know, put them together as one score, the Falcons are top 10 in the NFL. That alone should make you very excited about the potential of this year, okay? You got a lot of guys that can be Pro Bowl caliber players in that group, you know, especially against, you know, when we look at the offensive line. The growth of Drew Dahlman has grown as a center like I did. He and Hennessy were, you know, battling back and forth, and Hennessy added on, and Drew Dahlman left him in the dust. And then Bergeron came in, and watching him over the course of the year was like, get better and better and better, and if he takes another step up, which you assume that he will, then, oh, my God, thank God, left guard's finally not. Now what's the next thing we have to worry about? Okay, is, you know, McGarry going to be able to hang on to right guard here, and what do we do? Because understand about, people are saying, well, Jake Matthews is of his career. He is, but he's still an effective veteran player who can really do a, you know, an effective job at that left tackle spot and blindside blocking for Kirk Cousins, right? Bergeron, I think they view Bergeron as the heir apparent to Jake Matthews. Oh, we got to go out and get a left tackle. I'm like, I don't know that that's the case. I think they're looking at, you know, another guard, and Bergeron just slides out. I think that's what the eventual plan is. But for this year, that's not the plan. For this year, the plan is for that offensive line to accept a bit of a new blocking scheme, to get Charlie Warner in there in a max protect package to blow people off the line and to let Bijan Robinson eat. Thanks to all of you that called in. Exciting, interesting discussion today. Welcome to the first week of Falcons camp, which begins on Wednesday. Full coverage right here on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My thanks to Eric Slaughter as well. Eric, I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
You got it, brother. You have a good day.
And stay here as we take you and navigate you through to Wednesday's opening of Falcons camp on your home of the Dirty Birds, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Final segment for me from the Northern Kia Studios. Braves today now underway as they try and take two out of three from the St. Louis Cardinals. Reds come to town. So the week, this being the opening of the week here, Eric Slaughter, first day of the week, what a week it's going to be. It could be, it's a week where the Braves, you know, and I'm not going to discount the importance of today's game of the Reds series come, but it's a week that includes a trip to New York to face the MESS. It's a week where Alex Anthopoulos could be making the first of a big move, or one or two, or may not, with the trade deadline looming in just 9 days. And then it's the opening of Falcons camp. It's the beginning of the Olympics. I mean, there's so much, you know, right now in store for this week. It is going to be really fun because football season really, for me, kind of begins right now in a lot of ways because – Eric, this is the first day of the first week of the Falcons season, in a way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, like you said, Sunday's actual start week. And by now, it's Sunday afternoon, almost Sunday evening. So Monday, you know, we're here, and Wednesday gets here so quickly, the guys are moving in, and Thursday, the football will be in the air.
Yeah, and with camp again, we're going to have wall-to-wall coverage of the training camp beginning Wednesday, right here on your home of the Falcons Sports Radio, 90.9 The Game. Every show, morning shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell, weekends, we're going to have it all covered. Obviously, I'm not going to be there, but I'm going to be relying on the people like Eric and Joe Patrick and Squid and everybody else is going to be there to fill me in on all this stuff, you know, and all our reporters that are going to be in and around the Falcons and all the stuff that we're going to be posting. I want to encourage you once again to bookmark us on Insta, on X, on Facebook, 929 The Game, certainly our website, 929thegame.com, all the interviews that are going to be posted there, all the pictures, all the analysis, and of course, listen to all the shows here, because we'll have wall-to-wall with best coverage, obviously, of the Falcons with the flagship station. So we get coverage that nobody else can get. So, and you're going to want to be here throughout the entirety of training camp as we take you to the opener. We are knocking on the door here. I mean, we're 19 days away from the Falcons playing. They haven't even open camp on Wednesday. We're 19 days until they play the Miami Dolphins. So they'll open on Wednesday, and we'll be talking 2 weeks. You got 2 weeks from the opening of camp, and we're playing football. And they're going to have some practices with the Dolphins beforehand, and it's going to be really fun to watch all the storylines that develop out of here. I'm really excited. This is killing me, Eric, to not go to camp this year. And I know that you've offered, and I may have to, and I'll have to figure that out to take you up on it. I'll have to talk to my Connie about, you know, if we can do that, you know, and you can take me out there and we can go to a, you know, a session and whatnot out there, because I would love to do that, because I am really anxious to see. I haven't had a chance to meet the new coaches in person. I haven't had a chance to see Michael Penix or Rugaroro or Dorlus or Trice or Kirk Cousins, for that matter, in a Falcons uniform. And I always enjoy my time out at Flowery Branch. And, of course, every year, you know, when I was doing the morning show for all those years and years and years with you, is that we would spend, it was always kind of a fun time, it was an interesting time, but we would spend anywhere from 10 to as many as 15 days out at Flowery Branch during training camp. And it was always kind of interesting to do the morning show out there, because we would get there and nobody else would be there, and it'd be dark.
Would you beat the kitchen crew and the janitorial crew? You beat them too?
Yeah, we beat everybody but the security guard at the gate. Yes,
because I guess one time, you know, the kitchen crew gets there to start making breakfast for the guys, probably about 6:30. So you guys are probably already on the air for about 30 minutes, probably.
Yeah, well, and we're there earlier than 6,
right? Because you got to get set up. So yeah,
right. Yeah. So we're there.
Security guard opened the gate, and here you come with your coffee.
Yep. Yep, third shift security guard has to do it, and you know, and then you get to know them. They're nice people and do a really good job. We get a primo parking space, that's for sure. But we'd be there, and it'd be, you know, sometimes it'd be cool, and it'd be dark, and there'd be nobody there, and then we get to watch the sun come up, and then they bring the mowers out, and people would start to show up and set up stuff over in the, you know, the area where the media was, and they'd set up stuff, of course, you know, and it was like watching this is one of those time lapse, you know, things, kind of like in real life, you know, in real time, you know, and it was always interesting. And by the time that we got towards the last hour of the show, you know, the players and coaches are coming over, we're saying hi, the other shows are coming in, there's activity, the fans have been let in already, the place is buzzing. And so it went from dead silent and five people to hundreds of people over the course of the show. So it was always kind of fun in that regard. And then we got a chance to get down and sit there and watch practice and watch the team go and really get an assessment and an idea, because it's much different for those who've ever been to a practice. And of course, again, no fans again at Flowery Branch this year. It's much different when you go to a practice and you can watch players, even though they're not hitting necessarily. I mean, there's some 7-on-7 light hitting. They're not killing each other. Especially when they're in full pads. But you can really kind of get a sense of, you know, what you see in terms of how a player moves, how a player cuts, you know, what a player does, what kind of speed he has in one-on-one drills, you know, what's his game look like. And it becomes obvious when you first see A.J. Terrell and you see him in one-on-one drills, you're going, oh, okay, that guy can play. You know, and so, all right, I see why they took him number one. Or in this case, you'll be able to see in person the talent that these two quarterbacks have, Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. And what separates them now isn't so much a talent standpoint. Yes, Penix is more of an athlete than Kirk is because he's just younger and faster. But and he's not coming off an Achilles. People say, oh, Penix has been hurt. He's been injury-free for 3 years now, okay? He's fine, okay? So let's not worry about Penix being hurt at Indiana. It was a long time ago. You know, it was back when DeBoer was an offense coordinator. So this team will be really fascinating to watch in the preseason. I think, and I made this statement before, that from a radio perspective here on 929 and from a television perspective, it's highly possible, Eric Slaughter, that this Falcons team breaks listenership and viewership records for preseason games this year.
We won't complain about that now, will we? We won't complain about that in the sales department either now, will we?
But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, the storylines. Just the natural storylines of new coach, new quarterback, first-round pick quarterback, new offense. It's just storyline after storyline after storyline after interest after interest after interest. How do they look? How's this one getting used? You know, rookie defensive lineman, rookie defensive edge. Yes, storyline after storyline, and let's talk about this.
You know, right, and a couple of storylines get lost in all of that, too, that are otherwise pretty important storylines. How, when you're at practice, how does Troy Andersen move? How does Grady Jarrett move?
Right, return the rookies plus the return of the injured guys, the vets, the couple free agents that we brought in, which we really didn't bring a big – other than, of course, the $100 million quarterback. Just so much stuff, so much stuff.
You know? There are a lot of great storylines on this team, right? How do the rookies look? You know, is Rukoruro, you know, look – you know, it's funny. Like, Deidre Sinat, I don't know if you remember that name. Falcons fans may remember him.
Oh, I remember.
University of South Florida, right?
Yeah.
You know, right? And he comes in, and he looks like he's just – Deidre was built like just a round rock, mm-hmm. okay? And you watch him stand there, and you go, man, the dude is a round rock. And we get out there, and then he realized he was a round rock who couldn't move. Yeah, oh, okay, he really is a rock. He doesn't, his footwork is, you know, okay. Calvin Ridley shows up, all right, at camp, and, you know, catching bricks and all that kind of stuff, and you watch him, and you say, oh, okay, that guy's got a, okay, he can, oh, okay, this guy's going to be, it was obvious that Calvin Ridley had, when you saw him in person, you went, okay, all right, I'm good with this. I understand where they're going with this one. I got it. I understand why they like him so much. I understand why it was the first. Yeah, I get it. I understand where they're going with this because you saw the potential in a Calvin Ridley. I wish he could have been a Falcon for a lot longer than he was, injury and everything else. But well, not really injury. I guess it was self-inflicted. Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, it's too bad that it didn't work out the way it could have worked out for him, for Calvin here. So, and I wish him the best, by the way. But you can tell who really can and cannot play. It's just so interesting to be able to watch and go, okay, I can see the potential in this guy. That's why I can't wait to see. I think of all the rookies, the one I'm kind of most interested in isn't Penix. It isn't even Rukoruro. It's not Braylon Trice, because I think that Rook is going to be a rotational interior defensive guy and have an impact on the team. I think Braylon Trice is actually going to be pretty good. I'm really intrigued by Brandon Dorlus. And I want to know if Brandon Dorlus is going to be a guy that nobody's talked about that you're going to, whoa, this dude can flat play. Because that's my sense. That this dude is going to blow up. That between Bryce, Braylon Trice, and Brandon Dorlus, one of those two is going to become an immediate impact player this year. The question is, do both? I think there's a little less pressure on Trice. One of the reasons Ebby Cady went to this, I mentioned it earlier, he went to this highfalutin, high-end pass rush training camp in the offseason here, is not only to improve his game, but he knows he's playing for his job because he knows that between Zach Harrison and I'm not trying to look, this is no offense to Lo Carter. It's not. Lo's an important guy. He's a veteran player. He can really help these young defensive edge guys. He's really an important player on this team. But Lo also knows kind of where he's at in his career. And he knows that for this team to be successful, it's really from an outside edge standpoint, And I'm not talking about Caden Ellis coming off the edge or even Grady sliding outside. It's about three guys. It's about Zach Harrison, it's about Arnold Ebigadie, and it's about Braylon Trice. If those three guys can individually be, you know, up their game and be impact players, if Zach Harrison can take a big step up in year two, if Ebigadie can take a big step up in year three, and Braylon Trice can come in as a rookie and impact this team, that pass rush is going to be much more fierce. I think the Falcons are looking at that, thinking, and Jay Rogers, their position coach, is looking at that, going, hey, listen, this defensive line is going to be pretty good. I actually think the Falcons have a really good defensive line. I think they have a really good offensive line. And I think in having a really – I think they have one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. And having a really good offensive line and really good defensive line, while we talk a lot about Pitts and London and Bijan and Kirk Cousins and Penix and A.J. and Jesse and the guys that are kind of on the periphery of the circle, the guys that are in the middle there, I think the Falcons are really good. I think they're, from an offensive-defensive line combination, they're a top-10 team in the NFL, okay? If you combine offensive and defensive lines, the Falcons are, you know, put them together as one score, the Falcons are top-10 in the NFL. That alone should make you very excited about the potential of this year. Okay? You got a lot of guys that can be Pro Bowl caliber players in that group. You know, especially against, you know, when we look at the offensive line. The growth of Drew Dahlman has grown as a center like I did. He and Hennessy were, you know, battling back and forth, and Hennessy added on, and Drew Dahlman left him in the dust. And then Bergeron came in, and watching him over the course of the year was like, get better and better and better. And if he takes another step up, which you assume that he will, then, oh, my God, thank God, left guard's finally not. Now what's the next thing we have to worry about? Okay, is, you know, McGarry going to be able to hang on to right guard here? And what do we do? Because understand about, people are saying, well, Jake Matthews is of his career. He is. But he's still an effective veteran player who can really do a, you know, an effective job at that left tackle spot and blindside blocking for Kirk Cousins, right? Bergeron, I think they view Bergeron as the heir apparent to Jake Matthews. Oh, we got to go out and get a left tackle. I'm like, I don't know that that's the case. I think they're looking at, you know, another guard, and Bergeron just slides out. I think that's what the eventual plan is. But for this year, that's not the plan. For this year, the plan is for that offensive line to accept a bit of a new blocking scheme, to get Charlie Warner in there in a max protect package, to blow people off the line, and to let Bijan Robinson eat. Thanks to all of you that called in. Exciting, interesting discussion today. Welcome to the first week of Falcons camp, which begins on Wednesday. Full coverage right here on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My thanks to Eric Slaughter as well. Eric, I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
You got it, brother. You have a good day.
And stay here as we take you and navigate you through to Wednesday's opening of Falcons camp on your home of the Dirty Birds, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.